Hi guys, this is Alejandro Londoño from Cultura 3, and you're watching Death Metal Interview Podcast.
Death Metal Interview.
Venezuela is the country where Cultura 3 hails from, and Alejandro is our frontman for the band Cultura 3, and he hails from there, but he lives in Europe now as he talks to us about his career since the early 90s that these guys have been at it and well paid their dues over and beyond. And in my opinion, these guys are awesome. They remind me of the 90s version of Sepultura. Nothing against the newer Sepultura. I love both versions. I respect and follow Derek Green and Max Cavalera, of course, both great vocalists and frontmen for their bands, respectively. So Alejandro is our guest, frontman of Cultura 3. Let's check out the band's latest song and video by the name of Signs. Here it is. Did I mention Paolo Sixto Jr. of Sepultura as being part of this band? He is a part of Cultura Tres, as some of you might know by now. You can see him in the videos, and we all know about it. All the whole metal community knows about this. Paolo Jr. of Sepultura is also a fan. Before he joined this band, Cultura Tres, he is and was a fan of the band and the brothers, Alejandro and his brother. So here is our interview with Alejandro of Cultura Tres. Check it out. Okay, so first of all, where are you at? What part of the world are you at?
Right now I'm in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands.
Well, congrats on your music. I know you guys have been around for many years, but when I heard you guys, it sounds like Sepultura. It sounds just like them. Is that a compliment, or is that a... Are you offended?
It's something we hear often. It's one of the ingredients, definitely, and it's one of the big ones. We're all heavily influenced by... I don't know any Latin American band that it isn't influenced by Sepultura directly or indirectly. And in our case, we have, we grew up listening to Sepultura, and now we even have Paolo, the bass player of Sepultura, in the band. So we have a lot of ingredients related with Sepultura and their sound, especially in the 90s era.
So was that sound deliberately? Did you guys try to sound like that, or is just that's just the way you guys write? Or
no, well, actually, as I said, it's just one of the ingredients.
Yeah.
I don't picture Sepultura playing classic rock solos in the middle of a song, or having Alice in Chains type of vocals or things like that, we do have a lot of luggage of bands that we love throughout the years, and of course it's easy to search for Sepultura right away because of our background, because of our origin. We are from Latin America, and because we do share bass player, so it's an obvious choice to focus on that factor, but it's not the only one. So, we are not really aiming to sound like Sepultura at all. We just play what comes from the heart. And then, definitely we have been absorbing a lot of the Sepultura music throughout our youth.
To me, as a fan, here's my 2 cents. I just hope Andreas Kisser won't get mad at me or the other guys, but to me, you guys sound more like Sepultura than they do. Does that make sense?
I wouldn't know what you mean with that. But Sepultura is an evolving band. That's one of the things that I actually love about the band. If we're gonna talk about Sepultura, let's talk about Sepultura. I'm probably one of the biggest fans of that band.
Oh yeah.
My life has changed just because I heard that record. First record of them that I heard, Beneath the Remain. And one of the things that I have so much respect for Sepultura is the fact that they don't stand still. I mean, they have succeed in almost every sound they aimed at the time. So, I mean, if you're an old Sepultura fan, you've heard many times people saying like, oh, they didn't sound like before, because before that.
Yeah.
Because they have done everything, and I've seen them succeed in everything they do, like from the times in which they were like next to death metal bands, the Florida Scott Burns from Morrison sound, that kind of era. Then they jump into complete different thing, and then I heard people saying this already, and then they succeeded at other stage, and they were not sharing stages with Obituary or Morbid Angel. No, they were sharing stages with Ministry and Pantera and Helmet, and then they will always be evolving, and they will always succeed in what they did. Now they're pretty progressive, they're a very technical band. I don't see anything wrong about changing your sound and evolving. I think it's a beautiful thing they do.
Oh yeah, they have a great sound. They've developed into a different band, really. If you look at it that way, if you compare Beneath the Remains to their new one, it's just completely different. Apples and oranges.
But it was the same difference that when you compare at the time, something like Schizophrenia and Roots. So it had happened before. They're an eternally evolving band.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you will have people that are, attached to a certain period of the band that had a big impact in their lives at the time, you know?
Yeah.
And then they will have newcomers that will love the Sepultura that it is today. And that's happening again. You know, I've seen this before. I remember fans of the Sepultura roots era, you know, coming in, and then the people that came in the wagon when they were playing Schizophrenia, saying like, "Ah, you don't know anything about the real Sepultura." And the real Sepultura is just a concept. Sepultura is the real Sepultura. They will be making every time a different album, a different perspective of music, and they will succeed at it. So I think, you know, I've seen it throughout my youth. I've seen people, you know, abandoned and coming back and things like that. So when people say like, "Well, you guys sound like Sepultura," no, I think we do have an ingredient, an influence like they had from Slayer, like Slayer had from Judas Priest, like all of these bands had from another band. You know, we do have an ingredient, and we do have the same origins, and we do have the same bass player. But you know, it is just an era, and it's the youth that we lived. And actually, if you want to find some resemblance to our sound, you should search not only for Sepultura, you should search for Andy Wallace, because that's a real reason.
Oh yeah, the producer.
That's why we have that sound, because we do follow Andy Wallace's view on heavy music, and we follow it closely, because to us, you know, he's probably our hero. And it's one of the reasons why we love many of the bands that we love throughout the years. And his sound, yeah, that one I can completely tell you. I wish I was Andy Wallace, but I'm just the AliExpress version of Andy Wallace. And yeah, well, he has a big impact in this song, the sound of the 90s, and the sound also of Sepultura, of some of these records.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so one more comment on the Sepultura before going on into your band and all that. When Max quit in 96 or 97 after Roots, I think this is what he should have sounded like. Your new CD, Camino de Brujos, Cultura 3, this is what, a continuation to me, this is what it is. He should have sounded like this. I love Soulfly, Cavalier Conspiracy, but when I heard your stuff, this is the continuation. So thank you for providing the next part of Sepultura. So awesome.
I find still really weird concept.
Awesome, yeah.
Because as I said, you know, we're not aiming for it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not even having the same vision that the Sepultura members had.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a complete different direction in that sense.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, I will take it as a compliment. I'm a Sepultura fan, and I love their music, and I love what they do. But I think what you're hearing is more the Andy Wallace ingredient than not only the Sepultura thing that you mentioned. Otherwise, you know, it will be something that they will be sounding like nowadays, and it is.
Exactly. So let's speak of your new album dropping July 4th, Camino de Brujos. Who's the arranger for all these songs? Is it you and your brother, or did Paulo have a couple ideas in there? Everybody had ideas, or who wrote this stuff lyric-wise and riff-wise?
All of us had ideas. Some songs, I think my brother is a riff maker. We have like kind of different roles when it comes to making the songs. A lot of the catchy riffs that come from my brother, he's a huge Helmet fan, and he always had that in him. You know, he has this catchiness. He's very, very rhythmical.
Okay.
And so a lot of those ideas originate with him. I'm more of the melodic guy.
Okay, cool.
I try to find the double voicing of the guitars, the crazy solos, those are the things that I mostly get around with. And the part that the Paulo has given to us is funny, because I mean, obviously he's got a background with punk, and so does Jerry, our drummer. So they brought that element, that wild punk element in the band that we were hoping to have. But when we tried this before back in the day, because I mean, my brother and me loved punk and hardcore and things like that, but it never sounded genuine. It never sounded like we wanted to. So we abandoned it and came back a couple times. And this time they brought it up, and now it sounds like we wanted.
Yeah.
Like we wanted it to sound like back in the 2000s. So they brought together that wild element, and Jerry has a has that combination of metal but with punk, more like Dave Lombardo's Slayer. So I love that from him. He's playing. And I think what Paolo really put in our sound is something that he doesn't do with his band, with Sepultura, is that because, of course, you know, we made this record really surrounded by, you know, we were in a vibe of friendship. We were not aiming to make a record just for the career, like, you know, or anything like that. We were really having fun as friends. And Paolo and I, we have this, this fixation. No, it's a admiration for 70s music, 70s
okay.
rock.
Yeah,
you know, we do like this a lot, and we listen to a lot of music together in the past, and we really enjoy this passages, this really 70s rock. And I obviously, you know, if he's gonna do something with a different band in Sepultura, it's his chance to really, you know, experiment with that. And I was totally okay with that, because I also love 70s rock, and I really like that feel of bands like Yes, Rush.
Yeah.
Of course, Jimi Hendrix, and even things more modern like Slash of Guns N' Roses, which is a big influence in my music. And we explored that together, you know. It was a lot of jamming, a lot of like bass walking, responding to guitar movements within the song, pretty loose, if I might say this. So it was like a lot of the jams ended up in the record, and these jams then became really, you know, notorious part in the song, a song like that will blend into this psychedelic kind of nostalgic feeling with big guitar solos and stuff like that. This also, I think we were both, besides the 70s bands, we are both influenced by somebody that was heavily influenced by the 70s, which was Cliff Burton of Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the reason why an album like Master of Puppets is completely different than the modern Metallica. You know, I think that 70s element was coming from Cliff. And he had a lot of that in that vision of thrash metal, and we have it then from him as well, because we're big fans of Cliff's work.
Yeah,
and we have it from the bands themselves, and we made these big jams. Of course, not everything worked. I mean, nobody will hear the super out of tune bad solo or anything that didn't work out when we were jamming these things. But the best moments were kept, and they're part of the songs right now. And that's why I say, like, well, you know, even though probably the most catching line is like, well, you know, they have the bass play of Sepultura, so they sound like Sepultura, and it's the first thing to see when you see us as a new band. But at a second glance, you will see that there is a lot of experiments that are really coming from a different line, from a different line of music that has nothing to do with Sepultura.
Wow, very cool sound. Whatever you guys did there, whatever you guys threw in the pot when you were making the soup, I mean, that's just, it came out badass, you know, so very cool. All these ideas, 70s, you can hear all that stuff that you're talking about, all that Cliff and the 70s, and that's just awesome. How about the title, Camino de Brujos? For people that don't understand Spanish, it means a witch's road, or what's the translation there, do you think?
Well, I think you speak English way better than me, and you speak Spanish as well, so I don't even know how to translate it to English, because, you know, it's not my language. I speak Spanish,
right?
So
yeah.
To us it sounds like Camino de Brujos.
Uh-huh.
I have heard attempts to translate this that sound like coming from the Lord of the Rings, but we are nothing to do with that, because
okay.
Our brujos are way nastier.
Oh.
You know, so let's put it that way. It has nothing to do with anything from
witchery,
from fantasy books or something like that.
Oh, okay,
more,
okay.
Witchery, real witchery. You know, like brujería, santería. That kind of image of a brujos is that we have. In any case, you know, it's a little bit different. So I wouldn't know how to translate it correctly, to be honest. I think you're gonna be better than that. You probably should be the one that translates it for the world for me.
Right, there you go. It's a badass title, though. But why that title? Who came up with it?
I'll be honest with you. our lyrics are done really on the spot. We do not write lyrics before.
Nice.
We make a song. So it is, yeah. How do I say this? Everything started as probably an accident. It started because when we started to do pre-production in this band, like we wanted, like, okay, well, we have a cool riff and we're gonna see how we're gonna sing it. My brother had the ideas like, well, we need like markers, you know, of where the lyrics should go. So he will put a mic and say like, go Ale, go there and sing something so we can mark the places where the lyrics should go, and then we'll write something afterwards. And a lot of these intended markers, which were like lines that I remember I asked my brother like, what do you want me to sing? It's like, well, sing, just scream whatever, you know, and then yeah, we'll mark it. And a lot of these lines ended up in the record. So I just have a microphone in front of me, and then play Juanma plays the music, and I start to sing. And sometimes something really ridiculous comes out. But a lot of the times, the marker lines start to grow in us. Like, I remember the moment that I went to change that line that came out, Camino de Brujos, which was just a screaming line in one of the songs. We were like, you cannot change that line. That line is the album. We were like, but it was supposed to be a marker. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. So I have no idea where it comes from.
Yeah.
It's a subconscious process.
It sounds badass,
it's
though.
Something,
yeah.
It's something I heard, something I absorb, maybe from the news, maybe from things that we see. I don't know exactly where it comes from, but a lot of the lyrics has that element. They have that spontaneous, on the moment, a line came out, that's the line we're going to use.
Now, I saw an interview of you speaking of your friendship with Paulo, you and your brother, and the band throughout the past, and I did know you guys knew each other for years and years. I mean, you mentioned the story where he traveled with you guys in Brazil, one of your tours or something like that?
Yeah, Paul is a really good friend of ours for many years. And that's why for us, it doesn't feel really like for a lot of the media, you know, it's like news, like, oh, how do you join with such an icon of rock, you know, basically. And for us, it doesn't feel that strange because we have a friendship for many, many years.
Yeah, years,
so the only difference is like, well, right now he wanted to play with us in a band, you know, like give us a push and enjoy being in a band with us and make music. But to us, it doesn't feel that different because, you know, we're close friends for many years. I mean, if I look at I met Paulo when they were touring with Chaos AD, and wow, my first band was opening for them in Caracas, in Venezuela. I imagine that was probably 94 or something.
94,
like that.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. So it's a long time, you know, and he's just a really good friend of ours, and he's a good friend of my brother, and it feels like, yeah, he's like a brother to me. So I think besides, you know, the fact that we were out of options and we had no future at a certain moment as a band because we were we didn't have musicians. It was my brother and me who were quitting, about to quit at least. And I think that was a breaking point. That was when he was like, you know what, you know, let's make music together. Let's make this happen. And we're having a great time. So, you know, that's the best fuel you could have in a band is, you know, is friendship, I think.
So how does it feel working with a metal rock star like Paulo? He's a thrash legend for, if you ask any fan, I mean, he's just a complete legend in the thrash world since the 80s when Sepultura. How does that feel? I know you know him as a friend, but have you ever stopped and smell the air and you know what? Damn, this guy is a rock star, man. You know, have you thought about that?
Yeah, we have moments like that, you know, where I have moments where like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, you know, Paul is a rock star, you know, so we do have the moments like that. But I think the biggest, probably when I had the big, whoa, you know, I can't believe I'm doing this, was already before, because I did sound for Sepultura as a sound engineer, and I remember that time it was really strange for me. It was really like, wow, look at that! That was a band I grew up listening to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm part of their show in a very small part. You know, obviously I'm the invisible technician, you know, putting their sound in there. But I think that was when I had a big wow moment. You know, and of course right now, when we are playing together, I see much more my friend. But yeah, I have times that I see like, well, yes, it's a metal icon. It's a guy that I admire my whole life, and all of a sudden we're making music together. What a big honor that we have.
Oh yeah, he was there before Andreas was there. He was there on Morbid Visions and Bestial, and Andreas joined in Schizophrenia. Is that correct?
I think so. Yeah. I have to say some parts of their story is kind of blurry to me because I started to following Sepultura when they put out Beneath the Remains. Okay. So I do know a little bit of the past before that. But I think he was before. Yes, he was before Andreas, I think.
Yeah. I'm a fan too since Beneath the Remains, since I was in school. I bought the cassette and all that. And yeah, I looked back into history and studied, and Hydro T was the original guitar player, and some other guy before him on Morbid. But anyways, back to the rock. That's part of the rock star comment, you know. I was going to ask you. You mentioned you ran sound and engineer for Sepultura.
Yeah. Wow. Back in the day, before the pandemic, I had the. That's what I do for a living. I'm a sound engineer, mostly for the studio, actually. They needed my help, so I went with them on a tour here in Europe, and it was really nice. You know, I'm friends with the guys, so it was really fun to be on the road with them and then do sound for the band.
Wow, what an honor! So if you were to try to be a mean person and mute Andreas' guitar, you can sabotage the whole gig, right? Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
That'd be a joke, of course. Anyways, here's a weird question. You guys have been on and off with the record labels throughout your career. I asked different artists this question. Do you think bands need a label nowadays, or can bands do it on their own through Facebook and Instagram and YouTube? How do you feel about that? Do you really think we need labels, and are they coming to an end?
It's a really difficult question. It's because we are still on a transition that started in the 2003. Imagine, there's 20 years of transition of the music industry. It's hard to answer. I mean, you got people that find success without anything, just with what do you call that? A TikTok account, you know, and then a funny video made them famous. And you have people that spend the whole career, you know, trying to craft a piece of art that is unseen by a bigger audience. So it's hard to tell. I would not know. I have no idea, you know, how things work. I just know one thing. The beautiful thing on the labels, back in the day at least, is that they were curators of art, you know, for me, in my feeling. I will go to my favorite record shop and I will, you know, buy a record just because I knew that it was like coming out from a label that I trust.
Yeah,
and, of course. And 9 out of 10 times I was really happy with my choice. You know, I remember, let's say, you know, to name a few, like a lot of the records I bought back in the day, they were done by Rod Runner,
Relapse.
And then I would just, you know, blindly go and search, and then just like, oh, there's this new album by any of the labels I loved. And a lot of the times I made new discoveries. And now it is a sea of opportunities and also a very hard place to find music. You know, because if everything is out, so there has to be some sort of like a platform that will, you know, kind of select some bands to be heard, at least because there is not enough time to listen to all the music that is being put out. And we've never had a this amount of music put out in the world, you know, so
incredible. Yeah,
it's just too many options. So I think that they could play a role in not in the means to create the possibilities to record, to create the possibilities to be coming out in the tour or something like that. I think it's just like to be kind of like what the curators in musea are, you know, the people that brings the attention of a certain audience to a certain art statement or something like that. But, you know, still, I'm no one to answer to this question. I have no answers for our own career. So I have no idea how it will develop. I just know I noticed that it's still a transition period, even if it's a long one. It's still a transition period.
Yeah, I've asked this question to several artists, and it's half and half, I got to say. Some are with labels and some are against labels, and it's just an ongoing controversy there. It's just a weird question, right, for nowadays, now that the internet controls everything, basically, you know, YouTube and all that stuff. So anyways, yeah, it's a good answer right there. Back to your albums and your EPs. I noticed on La Secta, half of the stuff is in Spanish and half is in English. And then the Caminos is all English, right? Why the change there?
It's not all English. Oh. It's not all English.
There's some Spanish.
Thing is, like, most of the songs, yeah, sometimes it comes a whole verse. Like, for instance, our latest single, The Signs, has a whole verse in Spanish.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, there are songs like Camino de Brujos. The song itself is only in Spanish. So no, we do have Spanish. The only thing is, like, the only thing that didn't come out, like in La Secta, we had a song that it was absolutely from head to tail in Spanish, and it was a long song with a lot of lyrics, and that didn't happen this time. We didn't have a song where all of that came in Spanish, but because I don't plan it, as I said in the previous answer that I gave you, then I don't know when it comes out. I mean, probably it's sometimes like we're like kind of leading into an only English song, and then all of a sudden there's a part that, you know, you kind of like trigger anger when you're singing, and it comes in Spanish, because the same thing, you could be, I don't know, a second generation American or an immigrant that has more than 30 years in a different country, and then you forgot about Spanish, but then when you hit your hand with a hammer by accident, you're not gonna curse in whatever other language than Spanish, you know. So that's what we get, right? You know, sometimes, like, you know, we're in the lyrics that are in Spanish, I mean in English, and all of a sudden, boom, comes this part, and then I see that my lights go off, and then and then I have to say something that comes in Spanish, and that happens in many places, you know, that probably a little bit uncomfortable for only English speakers that say, like, wow, what did he say there? They might think, like, well, this bad diction, I don't even understand what he says. Oh, well, guys, it's in Spanish, sorry. So it happens spontaneously here and there. And then in La Secta, we had a whole lyric that is called La Cruz del Seis, that it was really, really, really only in Spanish. And that didn't happen this time.
Nice. It all sounds badass to me. So don't get me wrong. It sounds badass.
Thank you, man.
Oh, yeah. So how did you build your voice, Alejandro? What's your regimen here? As a kid, did you know you had a rock voice, metal voice, or at what point did you say, you know what, I'm going to become a singer here? How old were you when you said, you know what, I got the voice here?
Oh, my friend. This is, you know, I don't even see myself as a singer. I haven't, you know, the only reason why I'm singing is because we couldn't find anybody to sing for us, you know? Like, I always felt, well, still, I feel I'm a guitar player.
Yeah.
I only care about the guitar. I only practice guitar, or I only think about my role in the band as a guitar player. And then there comes a moment where, like, oh, yeah, we need lyrics. Oh, yeah, nobody's wanting to do it. All right. And then I have to do it.
I'll do it. You're like, so I'll then, do it.
Yeah, that's how we started, actually. When we were taking the band more serious, the guy that we wanted to sing, that was singing with us, he wasn't like really pursuing a career in music, and he thought, well, you know, it's not for me. So then, well, we had to make up something. We had to like figure something out, and then we started to sing ourselves. Juanma was also singing. He's the second voice in the album. My brother, and then we kind of like did it like for a period, like, oh, this is gonna be temporary until we find a singer, and then at the end it stayed that like that. So it was the same as the marking words for the lyrics. It just stays that way, but it wasn't planned. So I don't see myself as a singer still.
Really? Wow.
I when I'm preparing myself for a live show, the least I'm thinking is the singing part. I'm always thinking, oh yeah, that guitar solo, oh yeah, that line I have to remember. And then singing happens just spontaneous. When I'm in front of it, then kind of like, okay, and then I go. But nice. I have no preparation, so probably not the best advisor for anybody who actually sings.
Hey, well, that's cool. You're well-grounded. But it sounds badass to us fans, so congrats on that. Awesome, awesome stuff. So
thanks, my friend.
Yes, sir. So what's next for the band? What's on your agenda, Alejandro? What's coming up for the band? Gigs, recording-wise, video-wise, what's next?
Yeah, well, right now, we're just yeah, just a few days, 2 days ago, I think, is the album has been released. So we're you know, having a lot of offers and things and interesting things coming on our way. So we're not really that we don't have a clear path yet. I do know that we are going to start playing shows in the first break of Sepultura's agenda, because that's one of the, you know, obvious difficulties as a band right now, that Paulo's agenda is filled at the moment. But there is a break in between tours which we're going to use. We don't know yet if we're going to start playing in Latin America. I want to start playing in Latin America first, but there is a chance that we start in Europe. And we're going to have just our first shows with this record. So probably it's going to be exciting for us, because it's the first time we're going to play these songs live. That's probably what's going to take the biggest focus, trying to play live these tracks and bring the album to live, to a live performance. We were already, the last time we got together here in Europe and to film the video clips, we were already writing songs. So we do have already the next song or one of the songs most likely to be on the next record already
posed. Okay,
yeah, so we're probably gonna record that after the tour that Paulo has in Europe with Sepultura. We're probably gonna get together and just get it out of the way, just, you know, record it just to have it, because I think I really like the track, actually. And so I was really excited about this song. I was actually sad that we wrote it after this album is out, but maybe it's good. Maybe it's just the beginning of a new chapter. And that, just making ourselves visible, answering to questions, to the interest that we are surprised, you know, how much attention our record is starting to get, and we're really happy with that. And just that, you know, follow up on all of that.
Awesome. Thank you, Alejandro. Thank you for your time. It's a badass talking to you. You're a cool guy. And awesome subject there for the whole conversation is badass. And I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your interest, my friend. And thanks a lot for spreading the word. Like, we really heavily depend on guys like you, because people tend to think like, oh, no, they're on a big label and they have a known artist in the in the lineup, so this is going to be it. But no, it doesn't work like that. It's you guys that bring the message. If people like you spread the message, we're going to be there. We depend a lot on you guys. So I'm really, really grateful for the chance that you have given me and for this opportunity to talk to your audience.
Well, you're welcome. And you guys are going places for sure. You have the right music. You have some badass music. And this is the right time. And this is like badass stuff. For sure, you guys are going places. So mark my words, Alejandro. Good luck.
I hope it happens. One last thing. Let me say something nasty that I want to say. If you want to get it out of the interview, but if you want, place it in there.
Okay.
You know what the reason why if you ask me something about the production of the record, then I'm going to give you some material that's going to be controversial, but, you know, I really want to get it out there.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think with the production of the album, one of the things that brought us to bring this raw sounding album is because we are fed up to hear bands that sound like an avatar of a band. Yeah, I don't know what happened with the music industry in the metal genre, that it is deviating so much from reality that all we hear is programmed drums sounding like if they're in a video game. And I really, really, really love the music was done in the 90s, that where you could hear a drummer that was actually hitting stuff,
yeah,
and not a sound that he was producing the computer. So even though it's probably not what the market wants, it's not probably what the fans, the modern fans, wanting from a band at this moment, is to hear imperfection. We gave him a whole bunch of imperfection. And probably that record is not going to be the most clean record and perfectly sounding like a computer, but there are some four humans hitting stuff and screaming, and it sounds like it's real, and that's why we are proud of that.
Awesome. You got a badass production there. Congratulations on that. And it's very true what you're saying. Yep, the new band sound like an avatar, and it doesn't sound very real. You're right on the production. I see what you mean, especially the drums. And you guys got that badass old school analog sound, you know. That's so, congratulations on that, Alejandro. Awesome work.
Thanks. That was the last one I wanted to say. Thanks a lot, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We'll keep in touch and keep rocking. And don't forget about the small people like us.
No, you don't forget about us. We don't forget about you. That's a deal. Take care, man.
Don't forget to subscribe and ring the bell. Don't forget to download, stream, share our podcast episodes. And thank you guys and girls once more. And don't forget to follow and support Cultura Tres, also a very hard-working band, Alejandro and the guys, and Paolo Sepultura's very own. So go ahead and follow them, check them out on their gigs, go support them, go to their merch booth, purchase whatever you can. That will help the band with expenses, any band for that matter, right? So anyways, on behalf of myself, James, don't forget to keep it metal.